You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, and we're back inside the 9 o'clock hour, 5-hour KM to AM. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Let's get back to the phone because Scott Braun will join us in about 10 minutes to talk about the whole league. As you just heard, Gordon Damer with the update, right? We got to talk about these Astros. We got to talk about these Phillies. We got to talk about these Padres, these Blue Jays. Like, there are other teams in the way. There are other teams that feel good about what they did today, too. 888-808-1019. Mike Rivervale, you're on the fan.
Keith. Mike, long-time listener, love the show.
Thanks.
We got to talk about Cashman here. I want to piggyback off the gradings that the other person said before. Giving him a B right now, I can only give him an F. I got to tell you, I said, since his inset being there as a manager, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but from him starting out as an intern to where he's at now, he's done nothing for the team. Everything he's bought here has been a bust. I said, the only one that's really responsible for any of the championships that they've had, and I've had interaction with him, who was a great guy back in the day, was Dick Michaels. That was it. Anything that's after that, he's done nothing.
So
and I was really hoping.
When was Stick done? When was Stick Michaels done? When did it kick in that it
when
was Cashman's?
In.
But okay, so when do we start giving?
So Cashman came in as an intern in '96.
Yeah.
Right.
So he can't get any credit for anything.
Stick put that team together.
Go on.
And then since then, what has Cashman done since he's come in and take over as GM?
They were in the World Series last year. If you want to go back to 2009, he doesn't get credit for that World Series. It's kind of crazy. Thanks for the call, Mike. I know you got to do this. I know you got to do it. It's part of some of your DNA. I don't even think you're Yankee fans. I don't think you even like the team. It's the same fans that go there to get drunk and boo. It's the same fans that claim that they're going to stop watching the team. It's the same fans that call the station and say stuff like that. What has Cashman done? Draft and develop the best player in the game in Aaron Judge, who's won multiple MVPs, should have three, might get a third one, which would be four this year. This team goes to the postseason every year. They never have a losing record. It's hard to do that in baseball. It's hard to do that in New York with the expectations, the pressure, the amount of fans that come to the ballpark and obsess over this team. I know that they lost the World Series. They embarrassed us all, but they went there last year. He went out and got Juan Soto last year. That doesn't count. He gave up a bunch for that. At last year's trade deadline, he added Jazz Chisholm to the team. That doesn't count for anything. Like, as we talk about Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, who found Luke Weaver? Who traded for Devin Williams? Like, it's so stupid for me to even go through the whole roster. Cashman doesn't get credit for that. What has he done? He's been a bust. You give him an F? I can't even entertain it. I can't entertain it. It doesn't make any sense. You know, and that's why people say Yankee fans are spoiled. That's why guys like Jeff Passan are telling us, shut up. You could be Pirates fans. That's why across town, the Met fans look at us like we're insane. They're just starting now to have a owner and a president of operations, of baseball operations that move like they're in New York, big market, in the show. We're ungrateful as hell. we talk down on Brian Cashman as if he does nothing, as if he inherited the Yankees and doesn't have to work his ass off to make sure that this team wins games. And they have some of the best players, bro. How many All-Stars they have this year? Who went out and signed Max Fried? Who went out and signed Rodon? I don't know, man. It's just stupid to even entertain those conversations. If Big Mac was listening and took that call, it would have been a lot different. Patrick is in the Bronx on the Fan next. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's up? I was at the game today. Also, Keith, big fan of the fan. It was electric, honestly. Just at least the environment I was in, just waiting for Cashman to make these trades. I'm very happy with us bulking up the bullpen the way we have. The only thing is, I really wanted a starter, and I kind of didn't want one that was just going to be a rental, because I don't know how Cole's going to be when he comes back. I hope we can get the Gerrit Cole that we've seen in the past, but I don't.
Joe Ryan, the price was too high. Sandy Alcantara, the price was too high. Zach Gallen would have been a rental. You know, the other guys that were moved were not guys that would make a difference. So what they did was load up on the bullpen. I'm not mad at it. I wanted another starter, but Luis Gil comes back. What if Luis Gil comes back and he picks up where he left off last year, where he had a game striking out 14 guys, where he won Rookie of the Year? Max Fried just came back from max compete level, throwing the most pitches that he ever had to throw and you know, gutting it out for us. You know, Rodon still has, you know, he's an all-star. He still has it in him to go to the sixth, seventh inning and be dominant. This is his best year as a Yankee. Stroman shouldn't be on this team, but not for nothing. For what Stroman has given us. Yeah, against the A's, against the Braves, even today. Like, you were at the game today. Stroman started off the game just fine. Will Warren is a whole rookie.
And then the
rain
delay happened, and we had to waste our bullpen. I'm glad we got guys now, but, like, I don't know. I also just think Cashman's really holding on to these prospects. And I like Brian Cashman a lot. I think he's holding on to these prospects a little too hard. I mean, a lot of them haven't turned out. I mean, look, yeah, we just traded Peraza. I mean, Jordan Vivas made that absolutely terrible play against Atlanta when –
who wants him? What's his value?
Threw him, picked him off from all the way down in right field.
Yeah, I watched. Yeah. We talked about
it. I mean,
but I don't think anybody was calling for Jordan Vivas.
I'm hoping Spencer Jones can be the next Aaron Judge. Me too.
What a lofty hope for us. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
I mean, I hope that that's the case, but I mean, a lot of these guys, I think we could have got a lot of peak value for Jason Dominguez last year, too. I don't really remember the trade deadline, but that's just my one critique with Cashman. And I know you like Cashman a lot, and the guy came on here before and said he has absolutely done nothing. That's not true. Jazz Chisholm was a big part of that World Series team, and he got him last year.
Yeah, Mark Leiter Jr. stepped up last year in the postseason when Ian Hamilton got hurt. Thanks for the call, Pat. I don't like Cashman a lot. I would say that coming up later tonight, McMonagle is someone that has defended Cashman. You haven't heard me go through Cashman's resume and all that. I like the Yankees a lot. And Cashman rules everything that goes on with the Yankees, and I think it's ridiculous. Like, I've had a lot of fun going to Yankee Stadium. I've had a lot of fun watching them win games throughout my entire life. Cashman has been there for majority of my life. And, like, I give credit where credit is due, and he deserves credit, definitely today. And if you want to talk about prospect hugging and prospects from the past, we've heard already, I don't even know, Clint Frazier's name come up, Banuelos, Peraza, Yorbit Vivas. Yeah, we get it. But, like, you know, even Dominguez, I'm glad they didn't move Dominguez. Dominguez is 21 years old. Dominguez could be a star in this league. He's got it in there. He's got to continue to develop. Cashman isn't going to give away his future because, like I said, unlike some of these other teams in baseball, the Yankees have to win every year. They don't get to retool, reload, rebuild. They don't sell off. Even in 2023, when they were 82-80, they didn't sell at the deadline. They have to be ready to compete and win every single year. Tough job for Brian Cashman to please you all. And he doesn't. That's why he turns this stuff off. That's why he said it himself. If you don't hoist that trophy up at the end of the season, you're grade is an F. And somebody already called to give Cashman an F. Let's go to Vinny in Middle Village on the Fan. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, thanks so much for taking the call. First off, let me say I'm a big Met fan, but I have to say something about Cashman today, okay? Especially after that last caller, all right? Giving this guy an F or anything lower than an A is absolute lunacy, okay? Yeah. I follow both teams. I follow baseball. I'm a baseball fan, Mets fan, diehard. But what were the Yankees' shortcomings so far? Their shortcomings were third base and the bullpen. And frankly, it's the first time the bullpen was shaky. I can't even remember the last time the Yankees didn't have a lockdown bullpen. And what did he do at the deadline? He shored up third base, which you didn't need a superstar there. You just needed a competent ball player, okay? Because you have bats all over the lineup. That kid Rice would be a starting everyday DH on 90% of the teams. You can't even get him in the lineup. So you didn't need a superstar at third base. You got a very good one, okay? The bullpen shored that up. Now let me get over to my Mets, okay? Our biggest problem to me was starting pitching, okay? I do not trust Senga and Minaya, not based on talent, based on Minaya's loose bodies in his elbow and Senga's loose whatever everywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the most important ability is availability. I don't trust them going into October that they're going to be healthy. I really, really, really wanted a starter. Now, that being said, I did not want Alcantara. I did not want Dylan Cease. A lot of these names that were out there that were on the block, they weren't much of an upgrade, and I didn't want those guys. So sometimes it's not just the trade you make, it's the trade you don't make. Perhaps Stearns has a plan for Sproat or some of these young guys that are maybe close to the majors to come up and make a difference in the second half.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, he did a good job with the pen. I didn't think we really needed to do anything with the bats. I like Mullins. He's okay. You know, he's an improvement. But he's not like, a world beater. But I really, really wanted a starter like a BB, right? Like someone that I didn't even know was on the block that could have been solid. But he disappointed me a little there. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe the price for those marginal guys is just too high.
Yeah, and I think it's because he didn't, similar to the Yankees, they didn't get starters. The price had to be high, and they have to have a plan. So I would assume, I know the Yankees' plan is to bring back Luis Gil and Ryan Yarbrough and see what you have there. But I would assume that David Stearns has a plan to bring up one of your top young guys. I would assume that he's also got a plan for you guys to do bullpen games. The bullpen is stacked. Thanks for the call, Vinny. We got a break. We're about to bring in Scott Braun right now. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you. But we do want to bring in a little bit more of a national perspective as we talk about some teams that did get starting pitchers, some teams that did bolster their bullpen, some teams that did add some of the top position players available that the Yankees and the Mets will have to go through to get to the World Series. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. And we're back. Joining us right now on the Fan in New York, my guy, Scott Braun from Foul Territory. We're going to start talking about Major League Baseball and the trade deadline through the American League and the National League, not just the Mets and Yankees. Scott, are you there?
Keith, my guy, I'm here. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. I think I've been on with you once before, but growing up for a long time, I would listen to WFAN on snooze, but I would set it on snooze for 2 hours, and usually I would get to the end, so fun to be on.
Who'd you listen to? Who'd you like? Who was your favorite host?
I listened to Steve Summers. He just happened to be on a lot when I was on, so that was for many years. I think Jody Mack had a run there for a bit before that. I was listening to him for a while. So I think those two are the ones that come to mind for, probably 6 to 8 year period. I'm trying to remember if there was anyone else. Those are the two that are coming to mind. I mean, we're talking ages, I don't know, for me, 8 or 9 until 14, 15, something like that, in that range.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't fall asleep listening to WFAN. I wasn't a big WFAN guy as a kid. I wasn't even that much into sports until I got a little bit older. I was watching cartoons and comic books, Dragon Ball Z, X-Men, Spider-Man. I did that until high school. Then I started to get more into it. But anyway, let's get into the interview. Let's get into the conversation, man. I know you guys were live. You guys were covering everything. I think I was even riding in. I had my phone linked to my CarPlay, and I was listening to the end of your show, Foul Territory, at 6 o'clock, 6:25. My first question for you, is who won the trade deadline? If you had to pick one team from the American League, one team from the National League, who won the trade deadline?
The National League one is super easy. How can you not say the San Diego Padres? I thought last year they did a brilliant job of building up their bullpen, and I thought they were the second best team in all of baseball. They happened to run into what turned out to be the best team in all of baseball earlier in the playoffs, and that knocked them out. I mean, they had them. They had them against the ropes. The offense choked in that series, but I thought A.J. Preller did a brilliant job of building up that bullpen. What I'm getting to here, Keith, is that he doubled down. I mean, they have five relievers who could pitch in the eighth or ninth inning for almost any team in Major League Baseball. Five. That is very rare. Five setup, like high-level setup, high-leverage slash closers. I have not seen that in my lifetime covering the sport. So I think that was fantastic on that front, of course, led by the Mason Miller addition to add to the four that they already have. And then they fixed everything else they had a problem with. They needed another outfielder. They needed a DH. They got Ryan O'Hearn. They got Ramon Laureano. For a lot of fans listening, they might not know these guys, but these were helpful pieces. Although they probably know O'Hearn from his Orioles days, of course.
All-star this year, yeah.
Yeah, all-star this year. And then Fermin is not super well-known. He's a really solid catcher capable of starting, and he should be doing that with the Padres. And Elias Diaz will still get a little bit of time, but that's a guy who's a solid game caller. Should be good behind the plate defensively and then provide close to an average bat, which is a big upgrade at that position for them. So they were just on a heater. A.J. Preller is playing a different game because he's got a little bit of new school in him, but then he's got a heavy dose of old school in the way that he's just more aggressive than almost any other GM out there. You know, when I talk to front office executives, they often bring up Dave Dombrowski as the last of a dying breed. But I think A.J. Preller is carrying the torch because he's just less afraid to shed prospects. I'm sure we'll get into some losers that are the exact opposite in terms of how they look at the trade landscape. So that's the one that stands out to me on the National League side, among other teams that did well, right? Mets, Phillies, etc. I mean, for me, Keith, I think the Seattle Mariners stand out as the biggest winner. I know they didn't do a lot today, but last night they picked up Eugenio Suarez. That's the best bat and definitely the best power bat available if he keeps doing what he did for the first 4 months of the season. I mean, it's a 50-homer bat for a Seattle team that desperately needed more offense. They picked up Josh Naylor, who I think is really good, hits good pitching. They shored up the corner infield positions, and they're riding the Cal Raleigh best offensive season from a...
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Catcher of all time. They have, in my mind, a World Series rotation. That lineup's good enough now to be a World Series contender. Bullpen is good, not great. So that's one spot where I thought they could have added one more arm, but I think they're a big winner there. Yanks did well. I'm sure we'll get into it, but Yanks are definitely on the winner list too. Maybe not number one, but they should be in the top three or four in the American League.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be Mets and Yankees. We will end the conversation with that. But honestly, for me, I said Padres Astros World Series, joking, but like also I've been talking about for now weeks that the teams that add difference makers at the trade deadline, they're the ones that are most likely to make the push. Now we know that the Padres obviously are not in first place. They're right there in the wild card, but they are trying to make the push to overtake the Dodgers. And last year, the Dodgers themselves admitted that the toughest series on the route to being champions was what they had to go through with, you know, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Jerickson Profar, those guys out there at Petco Park. Now, with the Astros, they got knocked off last year in the first round against the Tigers, and then they look up this year, and the Tigers are one of the better teams in the American League, and I think that they obviously see the Yankees get to the World Series last year, and they've owned the Yankees every opportunity that they've had in the last 10 years since the 2015 wild card game. They're pushing their chips in as well. The Houston Astros, I think, won out of the American League, if it's not the Seattle Mariners, because the Astros bring back Carlos Correa to play third base, a proven postseason performer, and they have guys already. So what are your thoughts about the Houston Astros and what they did? Let's talk about them for a minute, because there are a lot of Yankee fans that fear the Astros, but there are also a lot of Yankee fans that want some redemption against them, and they'll be the first team to come back to the Bronx in a week from tomorrow when the Yankees return home.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Yankee fan, you should still very much fear this team. So they have a 1-2 punch at the top of their rotation, two number one starters, Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown. That's the one spot where I thought they could have used one more arm. I think Merrill Kelly would have fit well there. The Rangers paid the price for him. They were trying to get Dylan Cease right all the way to the buzzer, but the starting pitching market was the one portion that didn't really move. The asking price, according to most GMs, was too high in their mind. Probably not in my mind or your mind, but too high in their mind, right? And I'm not just talking about the Astros, but for everyone else. But Isak Paredes is an all-star. First half, he was great. Awesome trade addition. They've been trying to get him for a while. One of the biggest pull power guys in all of Major League Baseball. Fits perfectly with the Crawford boxes in Houston. It sounds like he's done for the season. So that's why they bring in Correa.
Yeah.
The only thing with Correa this year, Keith, is that he hasn't been that good. And they have to be buying that he's going to look more like the Correa from the past few seasons, who's been very good for the Twins when he's on the field. You just don't know if there's some nagging issue going on. I haven't been dialed in on, you know, every IL situation for him, but that is why he was a tough sign for a team like the Mets, and then before that for a team like the Giants. I mean, they essentially flunked his physical long term. The doctors were like, I don't like what this looks like. So the Astros have to buy that because they did take on significant money. He's owed over $100 million over the next 3.5 seasons. The Twins ate up $30 million of that, but they still take on a lot there, and they hope that he'll be a little revitalized for the rest of this season. I do think he'll probably play up with the Astros. The Twins were crumbling, and they went total fire sale mode as they're going to get sold soon to a new ownership group, so that was part of why they did that. But yeah, I'm with you. I like what the Astros did. There were some smaller moves that they did too, like Ramon Urias is a nice player that can bounce around yep. for them a little bit. So they did some small things too. And just in general, they're good. Their 8-9 is as good as anyone else. I'm talking right. about their bullpen guys, Abreu and Josh Hader. Jeremy Pena is going to be back soon. He was an MVP candidate early on this season. And Yordan Alvarez is still, in my mind, one of the scariest hitters in the sport, probably top 10, as long as he gets back healthy in the next month. Yeah, that's not a team I would want to face in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I mean, Carlos Correa out there in cold Minnesota that, you know, he had no reason to buy into what they were doing. He obviously took the money when he signed with them, but clearly he wanted to be a San Francisco Giant. He wanted to be a New York Met. Okay, he ends up there. I just know he's going to eat a sensu bean. That's a Dragon Ball Z reference. He's going to eat a sensu bean as soon as he gets back in Houston. It's going to revitalize this guy. He's older now. He's not going to have to, field as many ground balls at third base. I just expect him to be, you know, a weapon for them, and they're already good, right? They add Jesus Sanchez, they add Ramon Urias, and they already are good. They already have a home field advantage over there when they get into October, and I just think that they're going to make a push here. So, you know, it's going to be the Yankees, it's going to be the Astros again. I'm looking forward to it. I want there to be a rematch and an opportunity to exercise those demons. I mean, with the Padres, they just swept the Mets, and now they've reloaded and added, you know, Mason Miller and J.P. Sears, and I just think that, you know, they're looking to win their division, not just be a wild card. So those two teams are standing in the way. Before we do get to the Mets and the Yankees, the Phillies, I want your thoughts on the Phillies going out and getting Duran yesterday, and obviously he's under control, and they gave up a lot for him, but then they also add Harrison Bader today. Like, they're another team that's good. They were close to sweeping the Yankees here last weekend. They have a ton of talent. They were in the World Series a couple years ago. What are your thoughts on the Philadelphia Phillies before we talk Mets?
Yeah, Keith nailed it. I mean, I think they nailed it for this trade deadline. Duran was either the best or second best reliever available, him and Mason Miller. He's going to be able to shut things down in the ninth inning. Jose Alvarado is going to come back for them, but then he's not going to be eligible for the playoffs because he got popped for PEDs. So I think their bullpen is better than it was last year because their bullpen fell apart a little bit against the Mets, and that's what got them knocked out of that series last year. This Phillies team is getting towards the end of its current run with these guys. It doesn't mean that the winning window is closing, but this run is getting towards a close. And I think some Phillies fans were kind of disappointed with them, but I don't know what else they wanted. I think they've wanted to see like a little bit of a roster reshuffling. That had to happen in the offseason. I mean, these are big contracts, mostly really good players with great track records. So I think they did a great job. I mean, they also signed David Robertson a week and a half ago. You don't give him any prospects for that. Robertson was awesome last year. I know he's not young, but he's in great shape, and he was a strikeout machine for them. So their bullpen is better than it was last year. That's saying something, because their bullpen was pretty good last year, and it was falling apart lately. But I think they've really shored that up. Again, if I'm greedy, which I am, I would have loved one more bullpen piece. But I think they did well there. And then for me, I think that the Bader acquisition is underrated. We had Ruben Amaro on our show, the former Phillies GM, and he liked it too. And I'm just like, I want everyone to realize that Johan Rojas has been manning a lot of center field for them for years. He's got no bat. Now Harrison Bader comes in, who's having one of the better seasons of his career at the plate. He's an above average bat. He's still one of the best center fielders in the sport. It's going to be a huge upgrade from them. They always had that nine spot as just an empty spot for them. OPS plus, league average is 100. It's a stat I use very often. I think it's very simple to understand. Johan Rojas is in like the 50-60 range. 100's league average. Bader's above 100. Like, this is twice the hitter that Johan Rojas is. So I think that's a big, big reinforcement that they brought in. So I'd give them an A.
Yeah, and another proven postseason bat to go along with their other proven postseason bats. I think the Phillies are locked and loaded. They had a bunch of all-stars. They had two pitchers that should have been all-stars. I don't know what their fans... I know what their fans wanted. Their fans wanted Luis Robert. They wanted Luis Robert
Robert, or here's the other one, because we have Eric Kraft on our show on Foul Territory every day, and he's in the scene out there in the Philly area. He said, or they wanted Gino Suarez, which would have been kind of weird. It's more like if the Diamondbacks, I guess, wanted to take on Alec Boehm when he comes back. But I think they just wanted to see something else in that lineup. And I don't know. I'm like, I think they did a really great job. And for Robert, he didn't get traded at all. I mean, that's a whole nother world. But the White Sox are in another stratosphere by not trading him. They're so stubborn. They're like, we're going to pick up his club option next year. New York fans would lose their mind if they saw how this guy was performing this year. He's been terrible for almost 800 plate appearances now. And the White Sox apparently wanted like a top five prospect from a team. They all were hanging up, laughing at them. And they're like, well, if you don't trade for him, because teams are offering like a number 10 to 12. That's what it sounded like, prospect, which they should have taken in a heartbeat. And they were like, well, if you don't take him, we're going to pick up his $20 million option next year and hold him, you know, again, until someone gives us what we want. And who says that he'll be any better? If he was a free agent after this year, he wouldn't get 20 mil. So I'm like, you're that stubborn? You're just going to give him the money to stay on board? They are lost.
It's business. Jerry Reinsdorf, who is also the owner of the Chicago Bulls, their City Connect uniforms this year for the White Sox were a play on the Bulls jersey, and that Luis Robert jersey was the number one selling City Connect jersey. So they're like, hey, let's keep him for another year. Maybe we can get some of these White Sox fans to come to the Madhouse on Madison and go see the Bulls. I'm completely making that up. But let's talk about players that weren't moved that were talked about. The Steven Kwans, the Zach Gallens, the Sandy Alcantara's. Like, there were a lot of names out there. Joe Ryan. There were a lot of names out there that people were sure were going to be moved, dealt, and people talked about for weeks that as it came down to the wire today, it's like, oh, those guys didn't go anywhere. Those guys didn't go. They didn't get moved. Like, no one got them. So, you know, how can you be mad about that?
Yeah, I think the asking price for Steven Kwan was high, and rightfully so. Dennis Lynn, who covers the Padres, said that they wanted Leo DeVries, who was the top prospect that was moved over this entire trade deadline. He's like a top 5 or 10 prospect in the sport. That's the guy who went in the Mason Miller trade with the A's and the Padres brought him in and gave out DeVries among others. So Kwan wasn't going to move unless a team gave up a ton, and they just weren't going to do that. AJ Preller held tight to Dylan Cease. His asking price was too high for the Astros. Zach Gallen's surprising to me, Keith, because Merrill Kelly moved. So those were the two big starters, and Gallen's had a really down year, but I thought he was a perfect change of scenery guy, and no one wanted to pay the price. Again, this is probably a whole nother topic to get into another time, but the problem is that Gallen after the season will get a qualifying offer, and then if he leaves, the Diamondbacks get basically a late first round pick. And
you know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
They must have said, hey, nothing that we're getting offered is worth that. That's why I hate qualifying offers, because it actually, basically what it does is it holds back trades. There's no reason why Zach Gallen shouldn't be on a contender for the rest of the season. A lot of the other starters had high asking prices, which that's their right. And I think the teams just didn't want to meet them. And there were multiple years of control left. Joe Ryan still has two seasons left after this. I think the Nationals should have traded Mackenzie Gore. I think his stock is at its highest, but that was their choice, and I don't think they're going to be competitive the next couple seasons. And then the Marlins held on to both of their guys. Alcantara hasn't been great overall this year. I mean, he's been better lately. They wanted a number one starter type return, and teams were like, we haven't seen that yet. So I understand them waiting. And then they had Edward Cabrera, who's also not a known name, but a very good starter this year and has multiple years of control. So most of those I understand. Keith, there were still some other short-term rental guys. Like the Pirates had three or four guys that are going to be free agents after this year. Your fans are sure know IKF. I'm not asking for much here. Like low-level prospect, Tommy Pham, Andrew Heaney, who's been decent this year. And they didn't even trade those guys away. Again, another team that's in outer space and probably will have a new general manager taking over in the offseason.
Yeah, a couple more teams, but we're going to get to the Mets and the Yankees. Again, this is Scott Braun, who you know from Foul Territory. You might remember him from MLB Network. He was one of the young guys in MLB Network. I remember meeting you at MLB Network being like, you're way too young to be in here, but like, proud of you, man. Happy for you. But
thank you.
Yeah, I will mention, I think that the Cubs got better, and I think that the Detroit Tigers had some good ads as well. The Cubs, I think, missed out on some of the, targets that they probably were looking for. Like, they were looking at Eugenio Suarez. They end up with Willie Castro. They add Mike Soroka. They probably were in on the Zach Gallens, the Joe Ryans, the Sandy Alcantaras. But I still think that they made enough moves. And then another honorable mention, the Detroit Tigers. I really think they're going for it this year. They add Chris Paddock. They add Kyle Finnegan, Paul Sewald, Rafael Montero, and Charlie Morton. So I'm like, hey, they already are good and have a lot of players. They have kind of, brought in reinforcements for the run this year.
All right, so I'll debate you, especially on the Cubs side. Tigers, I thought, was okay. I would have liked to see them get a big name. I actually thought they should have been in the Geno Suarez running to try and just add more thump to their offense. And I would have liked to see them get one of those star high-leverage relievers. It's hard to doubt them because they've done such a nice job of finding diamond-in-the-rough type players. Look at what they did last year. So let's see what happens. But I didn't love it. I would give them probably a C. For me, the Cubs and the Red Sox are where fans lost their minds, right? So, we're doing a national show, and we've got Cubs and Red Sox fans just losing it about what was going on. We can get to the Red Sox in a moment, but I put the Cubs in a similar boat. Keith, I'm with you. Willie Castro, really nice player. I don't think they needed to do much, if at all, with their offense. That's a World Series contender offense. I don't think they have the starting staff. Justin Steele was a top three guy for them. They lost him for the season a while ago. Matthew Boyd's been really good. Can he keep that rolling in the second half? He's also been very injury prone. He'll be the first person to tell you that. He's almost 35 years old. So if you're starting, you know, in a playoff series, a seven-game series with Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, who's been not as good as he was last year, but obviously still in there. Maybe their rookie, Cade Horton, starts to get dicey after that.
Jameson Taillon. They're banking on Jameson.
Taillon coming back. But when I stack, so my point is, when I stack the Cubs rotation against the other four or five contenders in the National League, I just don't see it. So I think they're going to have a problem. They're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to have a problem. I don't think it matches up well against the Phillies rotation, the Dodgers rotation, if some of those guys come back. The Brewers rotation is much better than theirs. Even the Mets rotation is better than theirs. So I don't like what they did. Their fans are going crazy because they just gave an extension to their GM. So they thought, oh, this guy's going to wheel and deal, going to trade from what was one of the better farm systems in baseball, and they couldn't come up with a starter, and they just played chicken, and they should have overpaid. They overpaid in 2016 for Aroldis Chapman, and they gave out Gleyber Torres for him, and who the heck cares? They won a World Series for the first time in over a century. They changed lives. I think they had a chance to do that again, and they should have landed one of these top-end starters. It's going to cost you a lot. It's a starting pitcher.
Got to give to get. I've been saying it. Got to give to get. And whenever you pivot, and the Yankees have done this for years, whenever you pivot to a plan B move or a secondary move, the team that did go get the guy that you were looking for, they usually benefit. Like, you got to add difference makers. The Red Sox didn't add difference makers, and I don't think that they're in a position like Dustin May and Steven Matz. Okay, I think that helps, but like, they thought it was going to help to add Walker Buehler. They thought it was going to help to add, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they needed a little bit more, and where they are in the standings, I don't think it's going to be enough for the Red Sox to really contend. The Cubs, I think, will be all right just with their offense. And, you know, like, I saw their offense in Yankee Stadium after they, you know, they lost 11-0. They were able to, you know, pitch, play defense, and hit enough where I think that they'll be all right. I don't know if they're winning it all this year. But, you know, here in New York, the Mets and the Yankees were two of the last four teams standing. We'll finally talk about that now. I think that the Mets and the Yankees did enough today. I would give them both B pluses. I can't say A because they didn't get starting pitching. I feel like that was left blank. But they put together two of the strongest bullpens, and they also added bats. The Yankees more than the Mets. You know, the Mets add Cedric Mullins, who was an all-star not too long ago, and I think is going to be a better hitter in this lineup. Let's start with the Mets. I think they really won the day yesterday. I mean, they got Gregory Soto a few days ago, but the Tyler Rogers move, they gave up a lot for him in the eyes of a lot of people, but I don't think those were pieces in Buehler and Tidwell and Gilbert that they really coveted. And then when they made the Helsley move after Duran to the Phillies, I'm like, oh, that, you know, they add that to Edwin Diaz, Ryan Stanek, Reed Garrett. I'm like, they have a lights out bullpen now. And I know with this August coming up where they're going to play almost 20 games in Citi Field, that place is going to rock. They have a home field advantage. They need Juan Soto to be all right and Pete Alonso to come back to life and Lindor. But what are you thinking about the Mets rotation being aided by the strength of their bullpen, which is what the strength of their trade deadline was?
That's a super bullpen now, too. It's not the Padres bullpen, but this should be a top five, if not even top three bullpen in the sport. I mean, you have two closers, two premier closers in Edwin Diaz and Ryan Helsley. The thing that makes Tyler Rogers special isn't just that he's having the best season of his career. He's just such a different look. He's a sidearmer. He throws mid-80s, and guys just can't see it. They can't pick it up, right? And he gets lefties and righties out. He's a ground ball machine if you need to bring in a guy when you're in a jam and you need a double play. So, yeah, I thought they had a brilliant, brilliant trade deadline. Sure, you could have added a starting pitcher to the mix, but I don't think they necessarily needed one. So I'm with you here. I mean, I would give him I would even go A-minus probably for the Mets and for the Yanks. So, I mean, you've got your starting rotation for the postseason. I think there's still enough there with, you know, Manaea and Peterson and Senga and Holmes, and we'll see, you know, if Montas stays on the field. And then this bullpen's nasty. I mean, they didn't even have a spot for Buehler. It was either him or Rico Garcia, who I guess they like lately. And then besides him, I mean, these are all guys that can pitch high leverage for you. They got two solid left-handed relievers now to take out the Bryce Harpers and Kyle Schwarbers of the world, both in regular season and if they meet up with them in postseason games. That's Brooks Raley and Gregory Soto. Reed Garrett's had a really good year. And then you've got Rogers and Ryan Stanek's pretty good, right, and really good lately. So, yeah, I love what they did, Keith. I'm with you there. And I thought that they were going to get Mullins all along. That's my, like, little source there with the Mets. Hey, that's who they really like. They're going to try to have a conversation with the White Sox about Luis Robert, too. But they landed on Mullins. Above average bat. It's not elite, but it's an above average bat. I think the defensive metrics undervalue him. He's an eye test guy. When you watch him out in center field every day, they're going to like him. I mean, he yesterday made an insane catch, and Mets fans, you might get your Andy Chavez moment with someone like Cedric Mullins. I think he's awesome, and I think he's going to thrive in this scenario too. The Orioles were falling apart for the last few months, so I think he's going to be a great addition, and he's a huge upgrade over Tyrone Taylor, in my mind. Again, you know, it's almost exactly the same, Keith, as Bader versus Rojas. If you look at the number differential in terms of offensive performance, when you match up Mullins and Tyrone Taylor, and obviously they'll be able to do some platoon action with some of those guys. So, I think it was a great
I'm with you, bro. I was building up Cedric the Entertainer. I've seen a lot of him, obviously, as a Yankee fan, and I'm like, you Met fans hate the Yankees. This guy is a Yankee hater. It's in his blood from being down there in Baltimore. he had a great going-away week of highlights, robbing homers, and his bat lower in this lineup is definitely going to play. Speaking of the Yankees, and this is how we'll end it, we've already had people be critical of Brian Cashman, but when are they not? I think this is one of Brian Cashman's best trade deadlines ever. We'll see how it plays out. But when I talked to Cashman, I said, stack the deck, bro. Go get who you can get. And he went out and got a lot of good players, in my opinion, revamped the bullpen, added the third baseman that we needed, added some depth, some veterans, gave us some versatility, some options, actually built a bench. And he did it without giving up Spencer Jones, George Lombard. He gave up two top 10 prospects in Roch Reggio and Rafael Flores, but those guys have just kind of gotten up there, and they're blocked. They're not going to be missed in these next couple years. And the biggest thing about what Cashman did at this deadline, he didn't go out and get a bunch of rentals. What he did was add guys that you can add to this World Series window of the Yankees being in it this year and next year when Gerrit Cole comes back. What do you think about the Yankees' trade deadline and what Brian Cashman did?
Nailed it. I'll start it this way. So, Yankee fans, you should be very thankful that you're not a Red Sox fan, right? I know you follow them very closely. What a disappointment. I mean, they're rebuilding for such a long time for a big market team like that, and then they basically come up empty at the trade deadline. Just look across. I mean, they got a left-handed reliever who's okay in Steven Matz, and then, like you mentioned, they got Dustin May, who's like a number five.
They got a haul for Rafael Devers, bro. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, but I'm not helping them win this year, right? That's the thing. They unloaded that deal. That's their choice. I think they traded away their best bat. I know it hasn't worked out well so far in San Francisco, but yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm like, they basically just told their fan base, we don't think we're good enough yet again, right, and we're going to kick the can to next year. You know, the Baltimore Orioles thought that they were going to be a 100-win team this year and had that work out for them. So the Red Sox have a chance, and they could have gone hard, and they didn't. That super soft deadline. So anyway, the Yankees crushed it. I mean, they played along the same lines of what the best GMs are doing right now, which is extending your circle of trust for bullpen arms in the playoffs. Look how many more guys that they're going to be able to trust now for getting them out of jams and big moments and getting you swing and miss, which David Bednar does as well as anyone in baseball. I mean, he had some issues in Pittsburgh earlier this season, and going back to last year, it seems like he sorted that all out. I don't know all of these guys as well personally, like Bednar specifically. I don't know him that well because sometimes guys come to New York, and as you know, it takes a little time and New York can eat you up.
Sure.
So hopefully he's not one of those guys. I mean, Devin Williams dealt with that in the beginning of the season, and he's been much better for the most part. So Bednar, Devin Williams, Camilo Doval, Luke Weaver, those are all guys that you're going to trust in the eighth or ninth inning. And then Jake Bird, right? Nice bridge to get you there too. So I think they did a great job with building up their bullpen. That's one of the better bullpens in the American League. Those two platoon guys, Fourier and Med Rosario and Austin Slater, both work well. I actually really liked even the Caballero pickup.
Yeah.
Late. He's a spunky guy. I think Yankee fans are really going to like him. He's usually kind of one of the first guys when the bench is clear, almost like Sean Rodriguez back in the day, who I'm sure many Yankee fans remember when he was, you know, trying to fight the Yanks all the time and fight basically anyone. So he's that spark plug. He's super fast. And just in case Volpe can't figure things out or this gets really messy over the next few weeks, mm-hmm. he can play shortstop. He's an above, this year he rates as an above average shortstop. He hasn't had a ton of time there, but just so you know, that is good insurance. They didn't have insurance for that just in case there was a problem there. So anyway, I'm with you. And the last part of this that I think you should keep in mind for Yankee fans is that when you're trading catchers and you're the Yankees, it's a factory. They have a great catching development system going on. So they're able to find those and they have a surplus there. And for the Pirates, they do a terrible job of developing catching. And that's why they need to do that. They couldn't even develop their number one overall pick from a few years ago in Henry Davis. So they're like, hey, let's get upper level catcher types that are already developed from the Yanks, bring them over here because we don't know how to do it. So yeah, the Yankees didn't give up anything that's going to bite them. Same with the Mets. You got to be happy if you're a baseball fan in New York.
Scott Braun absolutely smoked it. You're the man, bro. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Go enjoy the rest of your Thursday night.
Thank you, Keith. Got a tall glass of wine. Enjoy your night. I'll be listening for the next, whatever, hour or so. So keep doing your thing, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, bro. I'll text you. That's Scott Braun from Foul Territory, formerly of MLB Network, another Jersey Shore guy. And you just heard him run it up. He covers the whole league. Foul Territory, in my opinion, is the best baseball podcast out there. It's on TV. They have it on like the Bally Sports Network. And it's not hard to find. They're always streaming on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch, everywhere. You know what Foul Territory is. You've seen it with Ken Rosenthal and Cameron Maben and Eric Kratz and AJ Przinski. They do a great job. They've had me on there probably 8 times. So I always show them love. And Scott just came through and showed us the same love. 888-808-1019. Now it's wide open for calls. You guys can weigh in on, you know, the Yankees, the Mets, but now it's wider because I wanted to wait to get Scott on to talk about the whole league. So now we can take a look at, you know, players that landed in certain places and your thoughts on who won the day, who won the trade deadline. And as we get closer to 10:30, 11, we'll open it up for conversation around Giants training camp. I'm still in here watching the Hall of Fame game, the first, you know, preseason game in the NFL. The Chargers look to be running away with it. We'll get into some storylines out of the NFL and even some stuff on the New York Knicks. So this program goes to midnight. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's take a break right here and we'll be right back. And if you don't know, now you know. Quickly here, as we approach 10 p.m., Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let me take a call. I always feel like I don't get to the calls fast enough. I'm like the opposite of the rest of the shows during the day. I always feel guilty not taking enough calls. I guess because I'm alone. The rest of the shows have like 3-4 people talking. I'm like, I always feel guilty. Like, man, I haven't taken enough calls today. Let's go to Chris in Brooklyn before we get to the break. What's up, Chris?
Yo, Keith. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, good. Watching this 11-11 Braves-Reds game and also keeping an eye on the Hall of Fame game in here.
Yeah, same here, actually, watching that. I mean, I'm so happy football's back. But big Yankee fan, right? Like the moves. I get the iron sharpens iron. So now we have depth at places, and you can push people that were there that need to be pushed and held accountable, right, for the
check
lack
the
of
room.
Actions.
Yep, no job right. security. Iron sharpens iron. You got to play well.
Right, I get that. So now, it's like you said before, now it's on Boone. So now, are you going to put these people in? Or, so we got the guy from Tampa, okay? He leads the league in stolen bases. Now, once he gets on, are we going to pull the trigger? So, like you said, it's on Boone. So here's a funny thing to think about now, right? I'm thinking about the Judge injury, right? Let's say he's in a situation where he can't throw, and he has to be the DH. We get to the playoffs, there's only one DH spot. And for the Yankees, the DH has been the best hitter in the playoffs for the last whatever years we've been in the playoffs with John mm-hmm. Carlos Stanton. Mm-hmm. So now you have a situation. What do you do? Obviously, everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, of course, you play Judge, da, da, da. But if, let's say we're in our second series, right? We got past the first series. And Judge has been Judge that we've known in the last couple of years, unfortunately, in the playoffs. What do you do?
We'll cross that road when we get there, Chris, but I would play Stanton. I've been saying all night, Judge hasn't performed in the postseason, so it's a pretty easy question. The most dominant postseason hitter that you have versus Judge, who's been half of himself. We got to go to the break and the update. Gordon Damer, update number two coming your way right now.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.